Hello, everyone. Welcome. We have a special class today. I have been thinking about this class for a long time. I wrote it. I've been writing it for a little while, but I really like finalized it the last few days. And it's all about, it's about stopping at enough. But what I don't want anyone to do is be like, oh, I've heard you talk about stopping at enough 1,000 times. This is a more unique approach. It's about like really coming to an understanding as to why there are times when it is where it feels impossible. It feels like it's happening fast. You're missing something. Like, we're going to talk today a lot about why that happens. So before we get started, I've got to get all my stuff pulled up so that I can do a good job here. I am not sure why my chat window is in a whole new place than it normally is, and it's totally in the way. Hang on, let me see if I can pull it up and see if it'll give it to me somewhere else. Lisa, do me a favor, and you don't have to do it right now, but follow up with MJ today and ask if Zoom has... Oh, here we go. I can make it a pop out. Never mind. I figured it out myself. I just started clicking buttons, and there I did. I figured it out. They've changed how they do the chat, that it automatically pops up in your participant window, and I need to see all of y'all. I don't need to see the chat blocking y'all. Okay. So we're going to talk about all that today. So one, but I want to make a couple of announcements. Does Zoom always cut off the beginning of Corinne coming on? It seems she's already starts before it comes up. Yeah, it does. So usually by the time you're logging in, like if I log in at 8:59 and you log in at 9:30 after, I've started talking. And then it takes you probably about 20 seconds to come in. That's why there's a lag. So don't worry about it. Normally what I do in the very beginning is I just don't say a lot of shit that matters. I just introduce what we're going to talk about and stuff. But if you miss the first few minutes when you're a live attendee, like if you miss the first minute or two, I'm never going to say something that is like on fire that you need to hear. I try to save the first few minutes to have like announcements and shit like that. Then we get into the meat of it when I know that all of you are logged in and stuff. Okay. Y'all are all saying how fabulous I look. I really appreciate that. Let me just say, number one, this is Banana Republic's top. Let us all get the important things out of the way. I am wearing Banana Republic today. I am wearing Huda lipstick. It is there. It's a matte. I'm not sure which color, but it's kind of it's got a brownish undertone. I've been meaning to tell y'all this. So Huda is not a cheap lipstick. I have plenty of expensive lipsticks. Like I like Huda. I like Kylie. I like a lot of, there's a cheaper one that I like. I like ColourPop too, but Huda and Kylie are probably the matte lipsticks I wear the most. I also wear some MAC. But there is a new lip game that has entered my world that is dirt cheap. It's called Milani, M-I-L-A-N-I. You can buy this shit at Walgreens. And it was a happy accident. A couple of years ago, I was someplace and I was needing a lip gloss and I thought one looked good and I bought it. And I loved it, like used the whole tube. So I went and online looked up their brand, and I have ordered almost every gloss and lipstick, and they all work gangbusters. Like, I would venture to say that the Milani brand, I am going to be rolling off of my expensive lip glosses because I love them, and I wear Styla. I have a lot of them, but they have beautiful shades. They last really, like, they last a long time. They hold their color and stuff, so... If you're looking for a gloss, the glosses are good. These are the, this is the Keep It Full, but I've also used some of their matte stuff now. So anyway, just a little tip for all of you, but my hair is dirty. I just didn't have time to wash it. So I just wet it and blew it dry. And, cause I had to just get a move on. All right. Like I said, I don't say very many important things in the very beginning. So if you tune in late, you're not missing much. Two announcements. Number one, Camp Swag is going out this week. So for all of you who've been like, I want my Camp Swag. I want my old shitty. I want my pen. I want my banner. I want all the things. Camp Swag does start going out this week just to make sure that you have everything that you need. Camp is in 1 month. So in 1 month, we will be all together for an entire weekend. So this weekend is the final bonus call with Kathy and MJ. You can still sign up for the virtual experience. The in-person experience is sold out. If you want to come virtually with us, there's over 2,600 of our members are doing it virtually. Many of which they are diehard virtual experience campers. They love it. The one thing I hear people say all the time, well, I can't come because I'm doing something that weekend. There's like 3 hours where I got something going on or I'm going to be out a day. You get the replays. If you are making excuses and you want to do a deep dive and you want to have that content, I highly suggest you come to camp. We do give the membership sometimes the camp materials 1 year after it's gone live. We don't do it for a year. So if you're thinking that I'm going to sit back and I'm just going to wait until it all drops, y'all, it's not going to drop for a year. It's going to be a nice long wait. All right. We're also in the middle of the Summer Reset Challenge. So make sure that everything that you're doing, that you are sharing it in the Facebook group. There are photo challenges going down in the Facebook group every single week. And our coaches are dropping tips inside of Facebook. So you can visit the challenge page on nobswomen.com to find out all the information and to learn more about what we're doing in June. Okay, let's talk about why we can't stop at enough. So the reason why I picked this is because I've been doing some research on why for some of us, like it just, it's like, oh, I get it. I wouldn't say it's easy to stop it enough, but for some of us, it's like the second we start paying attention, it's like, oh, I can get better at this. We don't have a lot of drama around it. It's like you start realizing, oh, it's time to stop it enough. You may feel a little sad. You may not like it a little bit. You may be getting used to it, but it's not like a traumatic event. For some of us, it's almost like a traumatic event. It feels terrible. The idea is scary. When we try to do it, it's almost like we go into a freeze state. Like we know logically, the way I want y'all to think about it, it's like in the moment, it feels so real that this is bad, restrictive, wrong or something. Then when you're doing your discovery worksheet the next day, you're looking back and you're thinking, I'm so ridiculous. I don't understand why it feels so intense. I don't know why I can't just stop. Like there's these two sides of us that both feel really real. The realness of what it's like to try to stop it enough, or like you may be sitting there saying like, I miss it every time. I don't know what goes on with me, but for some reason, it's just like, it's like my brain checks out the second I start eating. And then there's the other side of us that it also feels true that like, this shouldn't be so hard. This is not brain science. I don't understand why I don't just get it. So what I want to tell you is both sides of you are true. There is like, it's both believable. It's both accurate. In the moment, it is hard for you. In the moment, your brain is checking out. In the moment, it doesn't make like it's not even something that even registered for you. And there's another part of you that when you look at it from like an upper view, you're like, this shouldn't be so hard. I can see why this could work and stuff. So the first thing I want to do is just kind of normalize that, because I think a lot of you beat yourself up over things like that. Like you just think like, I should be getting this. It shouldn't be so hard for me. All these other things. I'm going to tell you a bunch of stuff today that's going to help you not feel like crap if enough isn't just clicking for you off the bat. That is going to be the first step to making peace and being able to do it. All right, so let's talk first and foremost about why it's hard to stop it enough for some of us. And I'm going to tell you the number one reason that I found of why for some of us, it's really difficult, because that was me in the beginning. If you remember my story, stopping it enough felt almost traumatizing to me. I knew that there was no way that I was going to be able to just stop being in the middle of something because I had grown up with severe food restriction due to poverty, due to moments where we knew we weren't going to get food. I remember, you know, there being a day or two where not just one day or two, but days or two sometimes where it's like my mom hadn't gotten paid. We had no food. We had condiments. And I remember eating mayonnaise sandwiches because she could scrape enough coins together to go get a loaf of bread. And we would eat mustard. Like if you got tired of a mayonnaise sandwich, then switch to mustard. Like that was our life for a long time. And so when I first started losing weight, I think one of the reasons why it was hard for me with most diets is because they triggered starvation mode. And I don't mean I was actually starving. They triggered starvation mode is a concept that happens in your head where your brain is always on the guard against being starved. It thinks that that is a really bad thing. And Debbie's like, ugh, I hate mayonnaise. I'm just going to tell you, when you're little and you're starving, mayonnaise don't taste, as my papa always said, Bart did not taste bitter to this hungry squirrel. It's like, it's what we're having. So one of the things that for me that came up, like, was if my body thought that it was going to starve, not only did my body have a visceral reaction, because your body is not meant to be starved. It's not meant to go to extreme hunger and stuff like most diets have us do. I also was having a very emotional response on top. It triggered not having enough. It triggered that fear of what real hunger and real fear is like when you don't have food. So that's my personal story. And I know a lot of you don't have that personal story. A lot of you, your story is more laced in, you know, being told you can't have this because of your weight, but you would watch your brothers and sisters or other people in your family get to eat it. And then emotionally, that was really hard. It makes you feel very different. It makes you feel very broken. It makes you feel like, as a child, oh, I noticed there's something different. And there must be something wrong with me because, you know, they're getting ice cream and here I am not getting it. So for all of us, our bodies, they don't like the starvation mode, whether it is, you know, coming from, you know, when you were small and you didn't have enough legit, or you were small and you didn't have enough because it was taken away and you internalize it as something must be wrong with me. So when we talk about enough, there are two major reasons why it happens, or there's a lot of reasons why it happens, why we have such a hard time with it. The biggest one being restriction. And restriction comes in two different forms. Number one is the physical. So that is what I was talking about. For a lot of us, it's hard for us to stop it enough if we are currently or in our past have practiced not eating enough. If we genuinely did not eat enough food for our body and our body made an imprint, I talk about this some in modules 1 and 2 of No BS. So this isn't new news to all of you who have listened to the No BS course. Your body, when you've had, like if you did really low calorie diets, like if you've done for the majority of your life diets in the 1200 to 1500 calorie range or less, you have put your body into that really low to not really enough food category so that your body makes a trauma imprint. It starts remembering now, anytime you get hungry, we may be going back to that. And we need to guard against that because it's not good for us. It's not healthy. I want you to think about anything underneath 1500 calories is, and I mean like for the end of time, like, you know how most diets are, they're 1500 calories for 6 months, 12 months, that kind of thing. I'm not talking about having a few days where you're just not that hungry and you don't eat, and I know we don't count calories, but you know, when you have a day where you're just not that hungry, you don't eat that much. Most of us know that, oh, we are probably in that lower calorie range. Diets have glorified that. That's why so many of us think that that's a good thing. It's actually not. So your body makes a diet trauma imprint and it says, the last time you did that, I had to make up for what you weren't eating by eating away your muscle. I also had to take away some of your bone density. I also had to chew away at your organs. The weird thing about weight loss is that when your body gets into a mode of, like when it has too few calories, the last thing it does is chew on your ass. It's not going to your thighs. It's not going to your tummy. It's never going to the places where you store fat. It keeps fat as a life-preserving thing. It goes to things that's like, well, if you're not eating anything and you're going to waste away, you're not going to need muscle and you're not going to need your bones. But we're going to need the fat to protect you from getting, you know, if something bites you, you can't be too thin because we need to protect your organs. It's going to keep your fat because it's like, well, if you're going to be laying around, I'm going to need you to lay around for a long time while you're starving so that you don't die before somebody can bring you food. So it holds on to the fat. That's why so many of you will say, like, oh my gosh, like I'm losing scale weight, but my clothes are still tight. It's because you might be losing other weight. So Lisa says, when I stop at enough, it's less than what I was eating at 1500 calories. I'm so confused. Don't be confused by this, Lisa. Number one, I don't know how tall you are. So that also plays a little bit into it. But number two, in the very beginning, especially when you first start losing weight, a lot of you are going to eat a lot less than you normally would because your body immediately triggers going into fat. Then what happens, and this is the part that a lot of you don't do, is you don't really listen to your enough. Like you will need to eat a little more, but because maybe the first few weeks and no BS, you're eating at enough and it's significantly less than you were. Your body immediately starts trying to go to your fat to make up the ground. Naturally, somebody's knocking on my door. Hopefully Chris heard it. But then what happens is after that, your body's like, all right, if we're going to keep going, I'm going to need you to eat more. And so your body starts asking for more food, but then you deny it food, thinking, I shouldn't be eating that much. The last few weeks, this is how much I've been eating. The way I teach you to do weight loss with the doable hunger, with enough and hungry, is we're always listening to our body's physical cues. This is important because you're going to have times when your body's going to physically need more food than other days, and you need to give it. You do not need to tell yourself, I shouldn't eat this much. You need to say, if my body's asking for it, then I need to give it. Same thing with hunger. You will find that you might get hungrier more often. You need to eat when your body is having physical hunger. So, and like, look, for some of you, you're saying like, you know, first of all, I'd like to know why the hell all of you know how many calories you're eating in a day. Remember, we don't track calories around here, but let's say you do know, and you are tracking your calories. Just make sure, like if you say I'm eating 1400 and just make sure you actually do feel good. Make sure you're actually listening to your body cues. And because if you're tracking calories, it's going to take more energy and effort from your brain to also listen to your body, because calorie ranges from apps and listening to your body do not always walk in sync. That's why I tell y'all, don't count the calories, because I want you listening to your body. There will be some days that 1400 might feel amazing to you, but what about every 10th or 12th day? It doesn't. I just want to make sure that all of you are listening to those days, because you've got to be able to respond accordingly. We do not tell ourselves no, because I normally eat 1400. That should be enough. I want all of you to learn how to trust your body and use it as the ultimate guide. That's what I want you to do. So, okay, Amanda said there are days that I eat more and there are days that I eat less, and that's fine. She has an app that automatically does the calories, but I will just tell you, it's very few women in here that's going to be an easier system. So before everybody's like, Amanda, private message me what app you're using. It must be magic. That app is not what's magic for Amanda. Amanda has thoughts about it that make it work for her. Please listen to me. As your guide, as your expert, I have watched more people in no BS try to count calories and do our stuff. And then this is what they'll tell me. I'm just so overwhelmed. It's all so hard. You know what's hard is when you're counting calories and you're listening to your body and they don't match. And then you have to have new thoughts about that. And a lot of times our automatic thoughts about that are bullshit. And then you're trying to work through those bullshit thoughts. That will make it hard. I'm always trying to teach y'all the simplest ass approach as possible to your weight loss. So, bottom line, for all of you, we want to make sure that when it comes to enough, we have to give our body enough food. If you are identifying as someone who feels triggered, anxious, overwhelmed, burdened, restricted, all kinds of negative feelings, scared, afraid, nervous. If those are your feelings, when I say we're going to stop it enough and you're going to practice this and you've been trying and that's what's happening, this is for you. We have to understand what's going on with you. Now, some of you, that is not your problem. And that's okay. Kimberly says, how do you tell physical and emotional hunger? Go to No BS. That is actually inside the very first modules. Re-listen. If you're sitting there thinking, I don't know the difference between emotional and physical hunger, you really need to listen to No BS like a couple of times. I talk extensively about it in module one and extensively about it in module three. So if you're like, this is new to me, go and re-listen. That means that when you listen to it the first, second, or third time, you weren't paying attention. I'm not saying you weren't paying attention to all the lessons. Your brain wasn't paying attention to the nuance of emotional versus physical. Now, what I would advise you to do is you go and you listen to the modules thinking, I want to pay attention for all the times Corinne talks about how I decipher my physical needs from my emotional needs. Okay, so let's go back to what I was talking about. There are two reasons why, but how we restrict. So just not eating enough is one of them. And when I say not eating enough, I mean, you are skipping meals. You're trying fasting and you don't want to fast. You are thinking that not eating is somehow good, healthy, or better. Not eating is not good, healthy, or better. Not eating is just not eating. Sometimes we don't want to eat because it's an emotional eat. It's I'm tired, I'm frustrated, I'm bored. That is not restriction, taking that away. But when we're eating to save up for later, because we always overeat at night, you skip lunch so that you have binge time at night. Like, well, I know I always binge. So if I eat less at lunch, then later you're putting your body into restriction. Your body knows the difference. Avoiding foods you're afraid of. By removing all the foods you're afraid of, that is another form of physical restriction. When your body is being taught eating is wrong in any form or fashion, that will always trigger feelings of restriction. And when we trigger feelings of restriction, we set our body up to feel like it can't get enough later. Because at some point, you weren't getting enough. You're not getting enough of your favorite foods. You're not getting enough food throughout the day to try to compensate for binging later. Or you're not eating enough, period, because you think eating less is just better. Eating less is not better, y'all. That is like propaganda from the diet industry. Eating what your body tells you it needs, that's the way we want to go. And that does not always mean less. The other side is the mental restriction. And this is what is probably the most common thing that I see that happens in No BS. And that is, I listen to what Corinne says. And she was like, girl, you can eat whatever you want. And you can lose the weight. I'm like, I'm in. Let's go. Nachos today. But you start eating your nachos and you're eating them like this. I shouldn't be eating this. This is wrong. Every diet I've ever done says that I'm a bad person for having this. The reasons why we eat the foods we love is not just so we have oral taste and oral pleasure. It is also supposed to give us emotional pleasure. And when you sit there and eat foods you love and deny yourself emotional pleasure, guess what? Your brain didn't get what it thought it was supposed to get. So what's it going to do? Keep asking. It's going to keep asking for those foods over and over again because it keeps thinking, I need to keep eating them until I feel pleasured. So we have to be on the lookout for when we are sitting there and saying, I shouldn't be eating this. This is where we have to rewire how we think about our favorite foods. That is all in module two, the four N's. Like doing the four N's on your favorite foods, doing the fuck it foods worksheet on your favorite foods, doing that like on purpose, like writing about it, not thinking about it, but writing about it is how you rewire things. All right. So that's the big thing. Like the other thing about the mental restriction is we are eating the foods we like, but we're doing it without permission. So that often looks like when I say, hey, we're going to try the halftime method. And the halftime method is where you're going to make a plate. We're just going to pretend this is my plate. So you're going to make a plate of food and you're only going to eat half. And you're going to eat the first half with permission. You're going to tell yourself, hey, we're going to eat half of this. And I'm giving myself permission to stop to see if I need any more. Most of you say, I have to stop at halfway and then I can't eat anymore. That's not the halftime method. Oh my God. If y'all will just look it up inside our program, that is not how the halftime method is written. But y'all bastardize things. Your brain plays tricks on you. I'm going to say it again for the girl in the back who did not hear it for the 4,000th time. The halftime method is I give myself permission to eat half of this food and I give myself permission to pause for a few minutes so that I can just see what my body needs and what it doesn't need. And if it's still hungry, I give myself permission to keep eating. Then you eat another half. And then you pause again, same thing. You rinse and repeat, cutting. You're just playing the halfsies game until you either finish or you know you've had enough. And then sometimes you're just going to have to give yourself permission, be like, look, I checked in. I know I just want to finish. I know my body's had enough. I don't feel like stopping, but I'm going to note my reasons. And I'm going to figure this out. And I give myself permission to finish knowing I probably won't lose weight this week doing this. But I do know for the long haul that eventually if I understand the reasons why I want to keep going, I take those reasons to ask coaches. I debunk them. I work through them. I literally take them to ask coaches. I don't just think about it. I don't listen to 4,000 more podcasts in the private member podcast. I don't just talk about it with my accountability group. I just notice. You actually work on it. Noticing is not working. Noticing is a step towards doing the work. So you take your reasons. You take it to the ask coaches. You start debunking it. Then as you're playing the halfsies game, guess what? The halftime method. Eventually, you are emotionally ready to stop. And when you get to where you can emotionally do it, you will lose weight. So I hope all of you heard me when I say this, because it is so important. Sometimes, don't bitch to me that like, well, I did the halftime method and I gave myself permission to keep eating. I don't understand why I'm not losing weight. You're not going to lose weight giving yourself permission to keep emotionally eating. Not this week. Drop that expectation. But here's what you can tell yourself. This week might not be progress on the scale. This week is progress on knowing why I don't like stopping. And to make more progress, I'm going to take my happy ass over to ask coaches. And I'm going to tell them exactly why I don't like stopping. What came up for me in that moment? Here's the four ends that I did on this. Now, take a look at my four ends and help me. Is there any nuances? Is there anything else that I could be thinking about that I'm not thinking about? That is somebody who's determined to lose weight. That is someone I know the scale will go down eventually, probably in 2 to 3 weeks, because they're doing the work. They're not just saying, I can't lose weight eating what I want. You can't lose weight eating everything you want if all you're doing is writing it down on a piece of paper and then eating the things you want. If you are not doing the enough, if you are not doing the hunger, like waiting for hunger, if you're not going to ask coaches with all the reasons why it's hard for you, if you're not uncovering that stuff and then taking those next steps, no, you're not going to lose weight. We have to do this extra stuff, which is like for a lot of us when it comes to stopping at enough, it's the emotional work we're going to have to do on it. We got to create that safety. All right. So we talked about restriction. There's your physical restriction of not eating enough. There is not eating at certain times of day that's happening to where there's a rebound effect later because you're like saving up for something good or saving up because you blow it every night. That is creating that overeating experience. And then there's also the mental where we're shooting all over ourselves. And then somebody said, I think I'll need a recap of what you do after you give yourself permission to keep eating the second half. I will give you a recap. You eat half. You stop. You give yourself permission. You say, I give myself permission to eat half. I give myself permission to reevaluate. If I'm still hungry, I can eat another half. Then when it's time, if you know you physically have had enough. So if you haven't physically had enough, it's real easy. You just keep cutting in half until you're ready to stop physically. For my emotional eaters, say you cut it in half and you're like, I am done, but I don't want to stop. And say your reason, like let's pretend the reason is it's unfair. I should be able to eat more than this. This just doesn't seem like enough. And your brain is like throwing up a huge hissy around that. Some other common things are, but everybody else is still eating. Oh my God. I'm not going to be able to like spend time with my family. This is the only time we ever get to eat together. Your brain goes haywire as if you can't just sit there. It starts saying like, well, if you're not going to be eating, you got to go clean the kitchen. You got to get the next thing started. You got to get the next thing started. Those are two very common scenarios around dinner that come up. So you're like, I just can't do it. Like I'm freaking out. Then what we do is we note those reasons. So you need to write down and say, the reason why I'm going to keep eating is because in my mind, I am telling myself, this is unfair. I'm probably going to get hungry later. I should be able to eat more. I can't eat like this the rest of my life. You want to write those things down because that is the part of your brain that's making you anxious. That story is what we have to solve so that the next time that you stop, that you do the halftime method, you're like, I knew these thoughts were coming. I've worked through them. This is actually not happening. I don't even know if I'd get hungry later. And I give myself permission to eat. Like you already have that story curated. So you take those thoughts, you write them down. If you need to type them in your phone, most of y'all eat with your phone. Y'all act like, I don't got a journal today, my friend. Who sits around with paper and pen? No fucking body sits around with paper and pen, probably. Guess what we do? We got these shoved up our ass 24/7. Make a note, any notes app. Those who won't will do. So then you eat because you say, I give myself permission to eat for these emotional reasons right now. I also give myself permission to not lose any weight this week. This is important. I give myself permission to not lose weight this week. I give myself permission to not think it should be working, but to think I am working and I'm going to take my ass to ask coaches. And I give myself permission to not be an asshole to myself this week when I don't lose weight because I'm figuring out this emotional piece around enough. Then you take thy happy ass with your notes app. You go straight to ask coaches, nowhere else. And you put what you found and you run them through the four ends. And you wait for your answer. And in 24 to 48 hours, you go back to the website. You look for your question. And a coach will have helped you take the next step. Then you implement the next step. You continue to do the halftime method. Then the next time your brain says all that shit that it said the last time, you think about, and I know all this feels true, but I have also know that this stuff is true too. Or I know all of this stuff is true, but I'm going to tell you this at the end. I'm safe. I am okay. Everything that I think is happening is not actually happening right now. It just feels very intense. You calm yourself, then you tell yourself the new stuff. And that is what we're going to do. All right. So let's go to another reason why we have a hard time stopping at enough. So I want to just go through some of the reasons. Your mind is perceiving there is a lack or not enough to go around. So a lot of times we tell ourselves things like, you're not going to get enough food. This is what I like to tell myself. When my brain thinks I am not going to get enough food, PJ, she's like, are y'all ready for about 500 of us emotional eaters to ask questions? I have like 12 coaches. Trust me, we are ready. In fact, we often sit around wondering where the fuck are y'all? There's almost 14,000 of you. Where are y'all? I'm going to tell all of you right now before I get into this. I would be fucking happy as a lark to hire more people to answer your questions if y'all would just ask them. And I am not joking. This is why every week I beg y'all to go to Ask Coaches. Read what people are writing. Ask your own questions. I do not give you Ask Coaches for funsies. Just because I like having one more button on my website. I give it to you because I want you there. All right. So we tell ourselves, I won't get enough food. Again, tell yourself, I know that feels really true, but here is where I give myself permission to eat later if I need it. The whole point of this program is to learn how much food I need each day and to be able to give it to myself each day. I'm not here to diet anymore. I'm not here to take away foods. I am here to learn how to give my body what it needs. Because when I'm giving my body what it needs and I'm giving my emotional life what it needs, it is a lot easier to lose weight. I won't have a good time. I'm not going to feel connected. That is it. Like a lot of us have a hard time stopping enough because we think like our whole social system is getting threatened somehow. This is what I always like to remind myself of because this was my story for a long time. Connection isn't about the food. If I feel disconnected, it's probably because I'm judging myself or I think somebody else must be thinking something negatively about me. So I'm all up in their head or I've left out like myself in this situation. There's no lack of connection unless I am not thinking thoughts that connect me to what's going on. So here is my best like example of how food never is why you feel connected to other people and why booze is why you never feel connected to people. For all of you that have it's the food and the booze giving me a good time. How many times have you gone to a party and someone's pissed you off and you were eating? Did you finally be like, oh my God, now that I've put like, you know, a cream puff in my mouth, I love you. How many times have you and your partner or your children argued and you all have a silent, angry meal? Like you're there, you're eating. The last thing you feel is you're connected to your anger, but you are not sitting there like, oh, I know we were arguing like cats and dogs 5 minutes ago and we were all pissy. But now that we have mashed potatoes, we're all sitting around and we're laughing and we're like, I love you and you love me and this is amazing. If food and booze provided connection, you'd always be connected to somebody in your life every time that you put something in your mouth. The only thing that it does is if your brain, when you're eating, gets distracted, you mistakenly call that being connected. You mistakenly say that's me spending time with them. The last I checked, you can sit at the table while other people eat and still have a conversation and still like them or do whatever you want. It's like if you go out to eat and let's say you go out to eat and you finish your meal and your partner had ordered a meal and it came out wrong and they sent it back and it had to get recooked and they were like, you know what, go ahead and just eat yours hot. It'll be okay. And you're like, okay, I'll go ahead and eat. You felt okay then. Then when their food came, you were done and you felt okay then. Why? Because you decided not to make it a big deal. It's not like you ordered a second entree. Well, there's no way I can enjoy our dinner together because we're not eating at the exact same moment. That's how we know food is not providing the connection. And then another one is, I won't get this for a long time. We often tell ourselves that. I like to remind myself, I still to this day have that thought pop up. I always say, that's not true anymore. I used to do diets like that. I really did used to do diets like that. So I get why I think that. But this weight loss program is very different. I'm learning how to be around the foods I used to deny myself permission around. Now I'm working through how to have permission to eat them, how to plan them, learning how to have them more frequently, but in ways that do allow me to lose weight. We have to calm ourselves down because if your brain feels threatened, like you're going to lose connection, you're not going to get enough, it's going to be a long time before you get this, your brain is going to override logic every single time. That's why so many of you, I need you to do the thought work piece. We need to find these little stories that you're telling because a lot of you want to skip that part. You're like, it's going to get deep and it's going to be so hard and I'm probably going to cry all the time. I'm going to unearth stuff that I'm just like, you ain't unearthing nothing that deep, bitch. I am not asking you to go into the recesses of your soul and to bring out stuff that you would never want to tell anybody else in the world. But I do want you to figure out, are you sitting there mislabeling stopping at enough? Because if you don't, those thoughts feel dangerous inside your head. There's no real danger, but our brains, the way that they treat danger, anything that makes you nervous or anxious or worried or scared, it treats it equally to someone coming at you with a butcher knife. It thinks your life is in danger. That is why logic goes right out the window. That's why we need to know these things so that you can get better at hearing it and you can be like, oh yeah, I knew I would think that. I know how true that feels. I understand why it feels so true. I did the four N's when I was like going through the normalization, it made sense to me why I would think this, why it would be so scary. And now I can just take a few deep breaths. I can tell myself you are in safe. You are not in danger. We're just trying things a different way. So can I just, and then you just think, can I just think this new thing? Can I just leave a little bit behind? Can I just change my pattern just a little bit so that I can see that maybe all this shit that I'm saying isn't 100% true? That's weight loss, y'all. That's how we build safety around enough. Now, another thing that comes up for a lot of you is the bratty kid in me says, because I want it. Yeah, of course the bratty kid says that. You know why? That kid didn't get it for a long time. Maybe when you were a kid, it was legit taken away from you and it was legit unfair. Maybe it's not even a kid. Maybe it's the 40-year-old version of you and you're in your 60s. And she's the one who's saying like, oh my God, I just remember all these awful times you wouldn't let me have these things. This is terrible, blah, blah, blah. That person is really not being a brat. You know what that person is saying? I remember being punished. I don't want you to be punished. I think this is punishment. I'm scared to death for both of us. And the only way I know how to tell you is to yell at you and to freak you out. And that's where we come in with the four N's so that we can go in and say, I so appreciate what you have to say. I did punish you back then. And I know that right now it looks the same, but it's just not the same. If I'm saying no to a donut right now, it's not because I can't have it. It's because when I eat donuts now, I want to make sure we are really going to enjoy it. There's no back end consequences like having to beat ourselves up because we ate it emotionally. This is not the last donut we'll ever get. If I'm going to have a donut, I want to go and get a great donut, not just have a free one in the office. That is what we want to do. We want to listen to those voices. Because you're going to need to talk to them. No more ignoring them. No more wishing them away. No more hoping they stop. No more thinking they shouldn't be there. It's time to buck up. It's time to be a fucking grown-ass woman. It's time to listen to those voices and have a conversation with them. It's time to say, thank you. I know why you're here. I understand it because I wrote about it. And I also think these things too. And we're just going to try a new way. Because here's the good news for all of you. If you try the new way and you don't like it, you can just quit. You can. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, if you try the stuff that I try, like I ask you to do, and it's just not working and you're doing your ass coaches and you're doing everything, you can always go back to what you've been doing. Trying to restrict, telling yourself you shouldn't eat things, ignoring your thoughts and feelings, hoping that willpower will do it, forcing yourself to do extreme things. I promise you, I'm not taking any of those solutions away from you. I'm just trying to highlight that maybe you keep trying to go back to a well that's really dry. All right. Another reason is our body just wants to feel normal. And whatever normal is to you. So a lot of times, a lot of you are having emotional dysregulation, which just means I feel like my feelings have been hijacked. In one minute, I feel like I'm doing okay, but then all of a sudden I'm anxious. All of a sudden I'm overwhelmed. All of a sudden I'm overly tired. All of a sudden it's just like, it all just hits you at once. Some type of stressor has triggered you. And so what happens is when that your automatic thinking, whenever your body thinks that it's under assault for some reason, like if somebody yelled at you, something didn't go the way you thought it should, and you make up a big story about how, oh my God, this is not the way it should be happening, blah, 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 your body thinks you're being threatened and it's going to want to try to save you. And it saves you by turning on automatic thinking. And your automatic thinking is just trying to keep you safe. It says something around you feels dangerous and I need to protect you. So food very often is a way that a lot of us have learned how to deal with scary emotions, big emotions. We learn it from infancy. If you think about every time an infant is scared or like infants only know one thing. Calm and like fear. If they start getting hungry, they just start screaming, crying. And what is the way that we soothe humans from the get? We give them food. Because we think the first thing we try always with an infant is we pick them up and we give them food because we think they must be hungry. So for all of you, please stop thinking something's wrong because you reach for food as a way to comfort yourself. We start from birth being comforted with food. Our brains learn very early on that if all else fails, eat. What sometimes happens for a lot of us is we're never really taught what to do when we emotionally feel bad. Sometimes the food is perpetuated. I remember when I was growing up, if we were having a bad day, my mom would try to scrape together enough money to take us to the drive-thru. It was our way of, like, we just didn't have money to do anything. So that was like our way of taking a break. For some of us, we do get taught how to handle our emotions. Some of us are taught not to cry, not to do, we're told all the things not to do with our emotions, but we're not told what to do with our emotions instead. So I just want to tell all of you, I don't want you to beat yourself up if you're a food comforter. It's just the most accessible, natural way a human does it. And sometimes we don't learn new methods. So the answer isn't I'm bad. It's like, oh, my brain just wants me to feel better. It's trying to help me. It's the time of my life where I now, as an adult, I go and learn the things I need to learn to help myself. That is all of module 2 and module 3 of No BS. And then when you go to the pathways, where that's your courses afterward, learning how, like, to take trusting your body, that course, the pathway that has all of the mind management stuff, that's the pathway to go down. If you are having a hard time regulating emotions, being there for yourself without food, some of you just need to get better at the basics. Some of you need to get better at the emotional side of things so that the basics become so much easier. Another thing is you might have trouble with enough just simply because of momentum. Once we start eating something, y'all, if you start eating chips, they are engineered to taste so good that you want more. That's not weird. That's not a defect in you. Like, yeah, when you start eating certain things of your food, you just need to tell yourself some foods are engineered to make it easy to keep eating. That doesn't mean something's wrong with me. It means that when I eat these foods, I need to be more mindful. I might want to just give myself a serving. Like for me, I don't eat chips out of the bag because I know me. I'm going to eat a bunch. I'm going to have a hard time. It's going to, like, I'm going to overeat and then have to bring myself back. I'm really good about not polishing the chips off anymore, but I will tell you at this stage, you know, 15 plus years of maintenance, if I sit down with an open bag of chips, I still need to portion them because it just sets it up for me to be like, my automatic brain takes over. It's like, oh, these are so good. A few more won't hurt. It won't matter. So we want to make sure that we understand there's nothing wrong with us. It's just called momentum. Our goal is to just understand that. It's not to take the foods away. Is to really, like, figure out what are some good strategies for me around foods that momentum is going to carry me. There's several that we do in No BS. We say, like, hey, just try eating some stuff on a smaller plate. If I'm going to eat chips, I grab one big handful or what I just put whatever I think I'm going to want to eat. I'll just put it on the plate. I don't measure them. You can if you want. You don't have to. But how I do it is, like, I'm like, all right, I'm going to make my plate and I'm going to have chips. I'm just going to get some chips, put on my plate. The agreement is I don't go back. So that when I'm eating, I only need to pay attention to that serving. I don't have to pay attention to the whole bag. It's just a strategy that works for me. Then the last thing is pleasure. This is probably one of the most important, which is food is good. It's designed to be pleasurable. But the problem that I see most of you have stopping at enough is I want you to ask some questions around, is food the main source of my pleasure? Why or why not? Is food the only source of pleasure? Why or why not? Very often what I see is very hard to stop at enough if your life doesn't have enough pleasure in it. We are wired as humans to get pleasure. We are sexual animals that want to procreate. We like the taste of food. There's so much inside the human brain that is all about seeking out pleasure. We are hardwired to do it so that we can keep the race going. So the whole human race keeps going. If we didn't like pleasure, we'd quit having babies. We'd be extinct. So it's normal to crave pleasure. And when you don't have enough of it in your life, you will seek it out. And you'll seek it out in food. And you'll seek it out in, you know, alcohol and all kinds of things, shopping, stuff like that. So the answer is to like understand, do I have a pleasure gap in my life? This is probably one of the toughest ones to answer, because a lot of times the answer is yes. So then we have to say, like, what are the things I would like to have in my life? What are the things I need to change in my life? Whether or not you add them, whether or not you have the courage to add them, the courage to change relationships, whatever, have the conversations and stuff, I just would invite all of you to just understand what you don't have, so that you can quit trying to create that with food. Because when you start taking food away, when you start, and when I say take food away, when you are only going to eat to physically enough, some of you are leaving a pleasure gap in your life. And if we don't fill the pleasure gap with the things you truly want, like better self-talk, some self-care, having conversations, like starting those hobbies you keep kicking down the road, whatever that may be, you will turn back to food. Your brain will keep wanting that pleasure so bad. It'll be like, all right, you've given me nothing else to think about, so all I'm going to think about is food now, just until you break. And I love you enough to just keep on harping, because pleasure is important. You deserve pleasure. And if you don't give it to me in another way, I'll make sure you get it. Okay. We have given y'all, one of the things I want to remind everybody of is, number one, is make sure that you've listened to module 2 and 3 of No BS. It's really important. If this is your thing, do not keep taking the basics pathway over and over again. Like, if you're not stopping at enough, try going through the pathway that's all about our brain. It's all about self-love, ending self-sabotage, those kinds of things. It's time for you to study what's going on in your head. We've also given y'all some special journal prompts around all of this. So they're going to drop a link in the chat. We created some prompts. It's not a worksheet. Here's how I suggest you use them. You take one and you work on one prompt for an entire week. And you see if your answers change. And you take some of it to ask coaches. And you run some of the stuff you're finding through the four N's. And I have given you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different prompts. That's 7 weeks that you could work on building a better relationship with yourself when it comes to stopping at enough. Here's some of the questions. Are there times I'm scared I won't get enough food, so I overeat? If so, describe those times. What's the compassionate truth for each one? There's another question. Describe times I'm eating because I'm stressed, anxious, or needing to calm my nervous system down. What can I do in those situations that don't require eating as the first line of defense? How is food a way I cope, escape, or provide emotional comfort? What would I have to deal with if food was no longer my answer? Take those things and put them through the four N's and to ask coaches, and on and on and on. So I hope that this was helpful. We really wanted to give y'all a deeper dive class so that you would have, you know, just a look, like, what I hope you get out of today is how much stopping at enough is so much about what goes on in our head. It's not just what goes on in our body. And if we don't start listening to what's going on in our head, y'all, I promise you, you will not be able to lose weight for the long haul. We have to change so many of the stories. And then, like, somebody asked in here, like, what could we be doing things for pleasure other than eating? That's for you to write about. I don't know. I could tell you, go knit. If you hate knitting, that ain't going to work for you. That is for you to think about. Take some of these questions. Like, if you have questions like that, take them to the Facebook group and get some answers from your peers. See what all they're doing as a way to substitute in some pleasure. All right. Y'all have a good one. I'll see you later. Bye, y'all.